to remember me, bitch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the GM's Corner for the Both and Banter Star Wars Actual Play Podcast. I am your Game Master and host, Curtis Weeb. We're going to be talking in particular about Episode 8 today, with a few of the developments that happened with the characters, and going to be touching on some advice once again at the end, talking a little bit about splitting the party and how you can manage that effectively without sacrificing the time of other players. Let's get right into it. I only have a little bit of time today. I have a trip that I'm going on this weekend, so I want to do a quick recording, get this out there, and we'll have another game session for you next week. But let's get right into Episode 8. This was really about the players taking over gameplay, and this is something that I've been building towards for a while, but what I was doing with the open world system was I did guide the story a little bit. I think that much is obvious at this point, that every session I went into it with a pre-written narrative that guided the story in a certain direction, which I've talked about in the past as well. But this episode, I didn't do that. And I told the players before we began that I was taking the training wheels off, and that now that they were familiar with a couple of different factions, that they were going to have to start making some choices on their own without me tailoring the experience in any way. Which, if you've listened to the episode, you realize has led to some pretty interesting developments. But I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Right out the gate, though, I do want to talk about Okadessa and Koderic's side story, which has taken them away from the group and focused on Okadessa's story in relation to the loss of her brother, Zofarik. I knew going into this episode that that was something that I would have to deal with in a little bit more of a linear fashion, simply because it's going to be a pretty defining moment for Okadessa. And while I was worried that splitting her off from the group and sending her off planet, which I kind of assumed would happen given, you know, that I had given her a choice as to where she would like to bury her brother, and that was totally up to her player Shannon, I was okay with that because I know that the players that I have at my table are very understanding of allowing those moments to happen. And Okadessa's character has been kind of going on a little bit of a side journey away from the main cast, and I'm going to be interested to see where that's all going to end up, because there doesn't seem to be, in the near future, anything tying them together, especially because it looks like the group wants to move away from Chalu, and that's going to create a problem, not with just Okadessa, who doesn't seem to have a bone to pick with him, but also Koderic, who is very close, or getting even closer to Okadessa at this point. I don't even know where that's going to go. I'm not making any plans to try to interfere with that. I'm going to let that happen very organically. But let's get back to Okadessa's story. When we had started this campaign, Shannon and I had done a little bit of work on her character. Shannon had come up with a background for Okadessa. There was a framework there, and we had shared some of the ideas back and forth, but it still was open enough that there is room for improvisation. We know some of the events that led to her being enslaved. We know some of the events as to why her family was destroyed and why she ended up off-world. There's still a lot of room for us to fill in the spaces in between, and I can still surprise Shannon with characters or events or anything like that that she doesn't know about already. And I think that's been one of the really great things about the campaign, is that even though each of the players created a backstory for their character, they left enough room for me to play with and surprise them at some point in the campaign. Of course, this means I'm separating her from the main group. There wasn't a choice, simply because she had to deal with the death of Zofarik, and I really want to explore the relationship between Koderic and Okadessa, because I think it's going to be a fairly complicated one. Not for the reason that they are both Force users, and they are using that in a, I'll just say, interesting way. There's also a dynamic of that they are both from this world, and they both have rather sad backstories about losing people early on in their life, losing everything, and these events of tragedy seem to bring them together. And I want to give that relationship time to develop, and I feel like this is the time to do it, rather than later on when, you know, if they decide to make a move against Chalu, I feel like this would be a great opportunity to create some drama you know, if Okudessa has to make some hard choices between Koderic and her friends if it comes down to that. But we'll see. I have no idea which way they're going to go with this. Let's go back to the Hutt War in City 17 with Doc Muzzo and Talia. And just to briefly touch on Qualbin, who we haven't had in the last couple of episodes, which we should be remedying in our next gameplay episode next week. Lonnie has been busy with various projects. He works on about 100 different things at once. That's just kind of in his nature. I believe he was actually writing a Vice article the last time we were meant to play. But he'll be there for our next episode, and we'll get an update on his character very soon. But Doc, Muzzo, and Talia are now making some hard decisions in the Hutt War. We're starting to see that they're formulating some plans. And if you caught at the end of Episode 8, I briefly mentioned how one of those plans completely derailed something that I was going to do. And I'll tell you what that was. Here's what happened. Guttersby had made contact with Doc in the timeline of the game a few days before to follow up about, you know, what's been happening, where are they. He was doing an investigation looking for his friends. And there was some suspicion after the call ended with Doc, and Guttersby knew damn well that something wasn't right. And as much as Doc is a charmer and a schemer, he was figured out by Guttersby, because Guttersby's a pretty smart guy as well. He already was putting plans into place to force Doc's hand. Guttersby was going to make a move if he didn't hear back from Doc, especially if Doc just cut him off and stopped answering calls, which is what they were originally going to do. When Okudessa came back, he was going to hold her for ransom. As an employee of Chalu, he very easily could have convinced Chalu that, hey, these guys are fucking us, and Okudessa is a powerful card that we can play against them to find out what exactly they're up to, and to finally force their hand to get us that ISB agent, Ember Loken, who still they haven't delivered on that promise either. But they made that move to have Baton call in, say that he had killed Doc, and as far as they know, that's worked. And I thought that was a brilliant plan, and covered a lot of the bases of things that they had left, all these threads they'd left hanging from a lot of their manipulations and lies, because I think they're starting to lose track of how many exactly they are running at this point. But they did an excellent job, and I just wanted to let them know you guys perfectly played that, and you spoiled one of my plans, so well done. We're starting to see at this point the players are eyeing becoming their own syndicate. I don't exactly know how that's going to play out either, and I don't know exactly what their plans are. I actually don't even ask them. I don't want to know how they're going to put those plans into place. I will simply react to them with my own GMing skills and the faction system and allow that to absorb whatever it is that they choose to do. I predicted that they might go down this route. Secretly, I had hoped that that was something that they would do, was to become a faction of their own so that I could update the faction system as them being major players in it. Because that could make some really interesting things happen. Some of my factions might approach them a little bit more directly and say, hey, these are the resources we have. We want to partner with you. Or, hey, can you give us a safe house? We're in trouble and we need your help. That will be really awesome if we can get to that point. And I don't feel like we're actually that far away from that. We'll see what happens in the next few episodes. I want to give you a little bit of a faction system update, because I talk about it in every GM's corner. But the reality is, I actually haven't updated the faction system since around episode 4. And there's a pretty good reason for that. There's been so little time that has passed between every episode, and as I mentioned again in episode 8, at the very end, that this is the first time that they have more than a few hours between session 1 and session 2 or whatever. They have a week this time, and that allows me to make new schemes and for those schemes to come to some kind of fruition. It just didn't seem like a realistic thing for me to have a faction make a scheme and then have some kind of fruition a day later or even 2 days later. But this is the opportunity for me to create some new schemes, especially with all of the major changes. As you know, Modo has now been wiped out. There are some other factions in the background that still haven't come out and made themselves known. There's a pretty good chance that's going to start happening. There's one faction in particular that I'm going to spoil for you, listener. If you don't want to hear it, skip ahead a few minutes. There has been a slave uprising going on in the background that is being led by a very interesting NPC. I'm not going to spoil that, though. But they have been growing in power every single time I have updated the faction system, to the point now where they could make a very powerful play, and it might not be a Hutt War anymore that they have to worry about. So that'll be really cool to see how they interact with that, if they get involved in any capacity, we'll have to see. Of course, we also have the Rebellion, who hasn't been on the radar really since about episode 3. The Empire also hasn't really been around since that episode. All of those factions are going to be updated for the next session, and I think we're going to see some pretty drastic changes that are going to change the nature of the game and change the nature of City 17. So be excited about that, because I definitely am. As I said, this is going to be a really quick episode. I'm going to give you some GM's Corner advice right now. I want to talk this week, to wrap up the session, about not being afraid to split the party. Some game masters are afraid to split the party because one or two players may get more time than the other characters at the table. And that can create a bit of tension between players, or it has the tendency to make other players bored and lose interest in playing the game. The first thing I want to say about not being afraid to split your party is to make sure that your players enjoy others having a spotlight. That has to be true within your group in order for it to work. I'm pretty lucky that way. I brag about my players all the time, and I will continue to brag about them. They do excellent work, and they are very supportive of everyone else having a really interesting story. And when those other players are having their stories, they're not just sitting there tuned out. They're listening, and they're really enjoying it, which is, for me, very important. And it needs to be something that's present at your table, or I wouldn't encourage doing splitting the party that often. But one of the benefits of doing it is you can have some really great character moments in development. If you look back at the history of the Both and Badger podcast, think about how many times we've had great moments when it's just been a player on their own. Okadessa, of course, comes to mind. A lot of her stories have been on her own. In fact, I think she's pretty much been on her own since about episode 5. That's led to her making some very interesting choices and her character changing in pretty significant ways. The same thing with Quelbin. The first time we split Quelbin off the group was around episode 5 when he did his own mission delivering the goods to the pirates. And then all those events happened where the pirates attacked and, well, you remember the episode. But he had a moment. You know, he had his co-pilot Imelin. They had shared a little bit of a private, intimate moment, and that happened because he was on his own. And we're going to see the fallout of that and what that all means, and perhaps it'll bring his character's confidence back. I don't know, but it's, I think, developed his character even just a little bit. I like it because it makes each individual character feel unique and special within the group. The crew for the SS Abrams is awesome. As a team, they are formidable. They're funny. They're adventurous, and it's a complete blast to have them all together, solving problems, working together. But to split them off every once in a while to make them face their demons or to make some hard choices, that's where you really start to let those characters shine. And I think it's been one of the defining features of our story and of the podcast is that we as a group take the time to develop individual characters throughout the story. And I don't think any of us have any regrets about that. I've really embraced that as a storyteller, and it's changed the way I run games. Not just Star Wars, but everything that I've been running. I try to have those moments where each character has their moment to shine, and my role-playing game sessions are more enjoyable for it. So that's really all I have to say about splitting the party. not a lot of advice in there, but it's enough to get us through to next week and back to the regular game, which I'm very excited about. You guys, thanks so much. You guys are giving us feedback, you're tweeting at us, you're responding to our episodes, and it makes it feel like this is all really worth it. I wasn't sure after about 5 or 6 episodes if this was something that I wanted to continue to do, because it does take a lot of time out of my life, and I'm a pretty busy person, but it's something that I feel a lot of validation about, and I know that people are getting enjoyment out of it. You guys are making it all worthwhile. So thanks so much for taking the time out of your schedules to give us a listen, to send us a message, and let us know what you think. It's super appreciated. I actually really enjoy feedback, whether it's positive or negative. It's something that I can always learn from. But that will be it for this week, and we will see you guys next week with our regular episode, and I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that we'll have the entire cast there. We'll finally get to see the resolution of what happened when Quelbin and Imelin had a little bit of a rendezvous in space. And that's all she wrote. We'll talk to you all again very soon.